Gaming that's more than just fun and games. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Lily Jamali. Imagine you're a national security official charged with monitoring marine activity off the coast of your fictitious country. Suddenly, a large tanker ship in your area goes silent. Its location sensor is offline and it's not responding to radio communication. What do you do? It's a question Francesca DeRosa poses in The Reliability Game, which she designed. We're actually going to play it on the show in a couple of minutes. It's part of the genre known as serious games. DeRosa is chief scientist for gaming at the Center for Advanced Preparedness and Threat Response Simulation, or CAPTRS. She says while serious games can be fun, they're really meant to prepare people to handle all kinds of situations.
The scenarios can be really, really very broad. You go from emergency response, but also planning, international relationships, and so forth. And especially the most ancient forms of serious game, if we want to stick to the broader definition, we're very defense focused because actually the whole serious game domain is born out of wargaming. Wargaming has been around for 200 years, so it's definitely not something new. And it's really looking at decision making in defense and war fighting situations. These techniques have slowly started percolating to the civilian world and have basically started living a whole development cycle on their own.
Well, let's talk about this game that you developed called The Reliability Game. Can you describe this game for listeners before we actually sit down and play it together?
So this is a game that it's played as a single player, which is assisted by a facilitator. And in front of the player, you simply have a big board with a very simple triangle. And the triangle on the vertices reports three different hypotheses. At the beginning of the game, the player is presented with an anomalous situation. There is something wrong. And it's just hard to understand what is happening. And obviously, you have a role. For the maritime specifically, you are playing the role of the head of a monitoring department of a fictitious nation.
Okay.
And you are basically requested to understand if the situation you're observing is just an anomaly, but doesn't really entail that anything is happening to the ship of interest. But you might also consider if there is a safety issue with the ship or if there is a security issue like oil smuggling or something like that. Mm. At the beginning, you don't have enough information to really try to understand. But during the game, the facilitator is providing you injects through cards with additional pieces of information. And each time you get this piece of information, you are required to perform an assessment and really think if this piece of information is supporting one of the three hypotheses that is on the triangle.
Can you give me like a specific piece of information and then I can decide where I go here?
Absolutely. As I said, you're the head of the monitoring department. And what I'm telling you, obviously experts might know better how to interpret this piece of information, but I'm normally telling them that they have lost the contact with a big tanker since 6 hours. So the AIS, which is a specific sensor on board ships, is not reporting since 6 hours, which is an anomaly in the maritime domain. And so now you're really trying to understand what is happening to this ship.
Got it.
So in the first card, we are telling you that there is a source, which is currently unknown, that is telling us that the ship is in a specific position.
So it's looking like it's in the middle of some kind of bay.
Exactly. And now somebody else, a source, is telling us that the ship is not answering to radio calls.
That sounds correct. So that to me would be a safety issue.
Okay. Then we also know that in the last 4 months, there were reports of oil smuggling in your area of responsibility.
Mm. interesting. So now I feel like I'm going to move across the triangle from safety where I was to sort of midway between safety and security. But definitely, you know, I think, you know, just to pause for a moment, there's like all these little bits of information. Some of it kind of conflicts. Some of it tells a bigger narrative. And then, you know, the big overhang to all of it is the source of the information is kind of not known. So I don't know how much stock to really put in it, but I have no other choice because that's all the information that I have.
Yes, exactly. The game was really trying to convey this and play around exactly with this aspects. And it's very interesting because originally it was created really for experimental reasons. And I really wanted to see, you know, starting from a baseline where you don't know what's the source of information, how does your reasoning changes when you start knowing more about the source of information, which is obviously helping us in the reasoning, but might also lead to biases in some cases if you are not thinking very carefully how that source of information is changing the weight that you give to a specific piece of information.
We'll be right back.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Marketplace Tech. I'm Lily Jamali. We're back with Francesca DeRosa, Chief Scientist for Gaming at Captors. The whole point of this, really stepping back, is to be able to sort of test yourself in what you call a safe-to-fail environment, right?
Absolutely. Very often, it's very hard to experiment in specific contexts, reason through specific problems that might have a low probability of occurrence and or might be risky. So in some cases, you really want to play through an emergency that might be risky, like also firefighting situations or anything else. And doing that in real life, it's very complicated. It might be very costly. And it also has, you know, your personnel facing risks. And therefore, games can complement part of that training. Sometimes in the domain, we tend to use a metaphor where we say, well, you normally train to increase your muscles. Games can be basically that same kind of gym, but for your brain.
So what makes for a really great game in this industry of serious games? What sorts of qualities set a great game apart from the rest?
Well, I think that everybody of us has a different perspective on this. Well-designed games should be immersive and should be engaging and create a kind of flow. And the game experience that the player is living is very important. But being a scientist, I also strongly advocate that a good serious game should be grounded on well-established science. And we should do the best possible to make sure that the games are scientifically accurate.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think about the role of technology like artificial intelligence, virtual reality tech? How do those things influence the serious games industry? Have they been incorporated quite a bit?
Absolutely. Technology is now opening a new era for gaming, I would say. I think that those technologies will help us reach a different level of immersiveness and flow, which, as I mentioned, is very important for serious games.
That was Francesca DeRosa at Captors. You can play a serious game developed to help officials prepare for the next major pandemic. It's called COVID-25, and we've linked to it on our website, marketplacetech.org. We've also posted a link to Francesca's paper on the game she developed, which we played on today's show. When it comes to digital serious games, flight simulators are the grandfather of them all, according to tech writer Harry Cloak. Microsoft first released its flight simulator way back in 1982. Cloak says it remains the most successful commercial flight sim even today. Rosie Hughes produced this episode. I'm Lily Jamali, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.